Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Round 19 wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight this week?
Well, yeah, big F1 fan. And look, the Hungary race was, the Grand Prix was on the weekend.
Hungarian,
that's the one I'm after. Hungary. And look, the race itself was not great to watch after Max Verstappen decided to plough right into homeboy Daniel Ricciardo.
Now let's see how we can pronounce everything.
Yeah, I'm working on my elocution.
That's your elocution.
Electrocution.
Yep.
Yeah. But after the race, Hülkenberg, who's a rather staunch German lad, and young Kevin Magnussen, who's a Brit, had a bit of a discussion.
I think Magnussen's Danish.
What?
I think Magnussen's Danish.
Yeah, but he's from the British part of Denmark.
Right. No, talking bollocks. He's British.
Anyway.
But yeah, Hülkenberg came over to him while he was on air getting interviewed and congratulated him on being the most unprofessional driver on the track again. And young Kevin just said, "Suck my balls, mate."
I'm going to say, the only thing you could have done better is if he did an Eric Cartman impersonation.
He just sort of looked back, shook his hands and "Suck my balls, mate," and shook him on. I think that makes him an honorary Australian.
Yep, I'll take it.
So I hope he's if he gets on the podium, he does a shooey. I really want to see that happening.
You ain't getting on the podium.
In fairness, it's unlikely.
All right, Brenton, have you got a highlight of the week, or can you remember anything that happened in the past week?
Well, I don't remember how I got home last night, so that's a start. I started field today. No, mine's actually a low light, which you guys got informed on.
I'm sure, yep.
So it's a birthday on Friday. The missus does all the organising, tries real hard too. Gets us some nights at Crown and supposed to be a surprise trip to the Book of Mormon. So
looking forward to that. That looks good.
Yeah, it's me too. So, yeah, she accidentally bought extra tickets. She bought four instead of two because the first time she went to put the transaction through, it didn't look like it worked, so she did it again and ended up with four tickets. So she's gone and sold two to some friends. We're in the car on the way to the theatre, and friends get a call. They got a call from the friends, and they're like, the tickets aren't letting us in. They're saying they're void. And so we're like, oh, shit. And so then go through and like trying to figure out what's going on. It turns out she bought them from a scam website. It was like a mirror website or something like that. So not good enough just fucking over like our night.
You fucked over your friends too. What'd you do instead?
Went and had some food at Crown and got drunk.
Yeah, fair enough. That's about it.
Yep. Mm. And we're like, we could go tomorrow. I'm like, ship sailed.
Already lost one gamble. Why not go for another?
Yeah, that's it. I've already watched the dodgy cam version when it first came out too. Yep. I've heard the jokes. Looks great. Nice.
Beer of the week then, since you put away a few over the weekend?
Yeah, it's been quite a few actually. So I'm going with Co-Conspirators Matriarch. It's a New England IPA. Co-Conspirators are two couples of brew beer actually and doing a fantastic job. In cans, fresh as fuck. So keep your lips around that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I got confused then because you said they're New England, so I'm guessing they're from Boston. And then you said they're in Cairns. I'm like, really?
Queensland?
Far North Queensland? No. It comes in Cairns. Okay.
Yeah. Tinnies.
Yeah, but they're actually Australian, but the style of beer is New England. So, yeah.
Which I've seen a lot more tinnies these days than you'd get before. Well, why is that?
They stay fresher in tins because you don't get as much oxidization leakage in them. Because even though the bottle caps have got seals on there, they do like just real, real slightly actually leak oxygen into there. So the beer will stay fresher in a can. So you actually get better quality beer in a can.
Which it's also odd. The other week while you were gone, I nicked a couple of your beers.
Yep.
And I noticed the pop top of the cans, whole top comes off.
Oh, that was the Colonials, weren't they? Yeah, they're actually a pretty big brewery that they own some like other hospitality shit like hotels and whatnot. That's just their little gimmick that they do. It's pretty annoying, I reckon.
I actually quite like it.
Yeah.
Because it means that when you're pouring the beer out, normally with a can, you've got to be a little careful so you don't end up just getting that glug, glug, glug and end up with a fuckload of head.
With
this one, you can sort of just pour it gently and make it work.
What do you mean pour it out? You get a can, you drink out of the fucking can.
Nah, you got to get a proper
glass. You got to get it on the tins.
Exactly. You got to smash it over your head when you finish one. Try and shoot
actually,
for the
that's
bin.
A point. It's impossible to shotgun.
Yeah, true. Yep. That's bullshit.
I've turned.
I have a very small highlight of the week. I have to walk past Southern Cross Station to get to work every day.
Yep.
That one of the highlights is the, is it AMP? It's not AMP, is it? AGL building,
right.
Which is right on Southern Cross Station, has the time and temperature
yeah.
on it. And it's been 9 degrees for about 6 months.
Yeah.
It's changed. It's now 4 degrees. No matter what time of day, it's changed. But I'm just glad that it's changed degrees. But on
you think it was Groundhog Day or something. Just every day, oh, fuck.
There was one morning I walked past, I'm like, jeez, it's cold. I'm like, 9 degrees? It doesn't feel like 9 degrees. Oh, well, whatever. And then at lunchtime, I was walking past, and I'm like, 9 degrees? Okay, I think it's broken now. A couple of months go by.
Do any of those actually work? I've seen temperature gauges on buildings everywhere, and none of them are fucking accurate.
No, they're never. But I don't know. I mean, if they were a couple of degrees off, who'd know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I got that feels like. It's because
bullshit.
Yeah, in case temperature's wrong, this is a second guess.
But on this...
especially in Melbourne.
Last Friday, I happened to see Shane Crawford as well, just walking the other way. He had his headphones in. I thought, well, I wouldn't bother him. Why?
Yeah.
Why would I? But then, if anybody else who walks past there knows that occasionally there's a busker playing the drums there, the worst drummer I've ever heard, and wears industrial-grade earmuffs.
Wow.
So I'm like, you're subjecting everyone else to this, and you don't have to listen to yourself. You bastard. Absolute bastard. I've never seen anybody drop a coin in, so they're clearly only doing it to waste time.
Yeah, let's just take a few out. Why not?
Anyways. All right, let's get into the footy then. And it kicked off with the big game on Friday night. Oh, I've got another fucking thing about this game too. Hawthorn-Sydney. Hawthorn-Sydney Friday night, massive game. I was looking forward to this one.
Yep.
And the missus says, nah, we can't because you've got to look after the kids. I'm going to have a hell of a week, so... I'm going to need help looking after the kids on Friday night. No worries. So I go home and say, oh, well, would it be nice to go to the footy? She goes, oh, you could have gone today.
What?
Like, nah. Fucking nah.
Just, listen here.
I just walked out and walked into the next room.
Worth factoring in, you work in the city. So you have gone all the way home.
Yeah.
And then being told, oh, you could have just stayed gone in back. The city.
Anyways, what can you do?
Actually, this is one of the few weekends where all our teams have won.
In fact,
it might be the only one for the season.
Well, it can't happen because I think our teams play each other in the remainder of the year. Amazing game, really, that Sydney have trouble against Hawthorn for some reason.
Yeah, it was way better than it should have been, to be honest. You always felt like it's going to be a close contest, though, when these two teams play. But, I mean, Sydney should be the better team and quite dominant over Hawthorn, but they managed to just pull it together somehow and... You know, I think Hawks aren't looking as bad as what we thought they would be by the end of the season, so...
Well, the strange thing is, injuries came, and it's helped Hawthorn.
Yeah.
It's clearly helped them, because it's given that back line, the very young back line, a chance to play consistent games together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Frawley, Stratton, Birchall, and Gibson have been out for the better part of 3 or 4 months. That's a bit long. 2 months. So they've just had time to work it out. And Caden Brand has played probably the game of his career on Buddy. Buddy's kicked one goal, and it was from a free kick that I didn't see what the free kick was for, and a 50-metre penalty.
Yep.
Free kick was probably there, but regardless, he's had an absolute shocker, and you've got to say Brand's well and truly done his job.
Yeah. Give him
well, any time you keep Buddy to under 2 goals, you've done well.
Yeah.
Has he ever really tore one apart on Hawthorn? I remember, he keeps relatively quiet against Hawks.
The best game he's ever played against the Hawks was the 2014 Grand Final. He kicked four.
Yeah.
And looked unstoppable that day, but they just couldn't get the ball to him enough.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, Papley tried to do his best to make up for Buddy having a bit of an off night, but still wasn't enough. Couldn't go to the line. But you did think they were going to lose it there in the last quarter. I thought, oh, here we go. And they just turned the momentum around and actually played some good footy for 4 quarters, which, you know, it's been one thing they haven't done for the season with such young and inexperienced team coming in with injuries. So. Well,
they've never really put a team to the sword.
Yeah.
They got 50 points on Frio last week, but
besides
that, I mean, they've beaten City twice this year by a goal each time.
Yep.
I thought Big Ruffy kicked some nice goals.
Yep.
It's once a one-on-one contest, which hasn't done often. But for me, the two standouts of Hawthorn were, one, Burgoyne. The amazing what he can still do at 35 and... just.
I still don't believe he's 35.
No.
But honestly, I hope he doesn't retire, but I think he's still got currency. If Hawthorn are looking at rejuvenating, they'd get something for him. And better than pick 88.
Yeah, I mean, maybe better. I mean, not much better, because you're only going to get him for a year or two. But yeah, if you're another team like Port Adelaide.
Well, Port Adelaide's the one I'm instantly thinking of, having obviously been from there. Like, and their window's opening.
Yeah, they would look at him. However, I can't see why he'd leave. But, you know, he's settled in Melbourne. He's got kids and so on and so forth.
Yeah, if they offered a two-year contract, he'd be there.
I think he could have 2 years at Hawthorn if he wanted it. I reckon he honestly could, because all the other seniors are going.
He could do what Rocket does and just not live there, just fly in Adelaide.
There's a good article on AFL.com today, actually, saying that...
Jeez, that's something you don't hear often.
The Gold Coast... Oh, we'll get to it when we go to Gold Coast. I'll worry about that. A lot of talk also in this game around Langford and Jared McVeigh. Did you catch the controversy on this?
Nope.
They're playing on each other, and it was a very fiery game, as you'd imagine.
Yeah.
And Langford has said, now, allegedly there was a slur in there, and Langford said to him, "Do you want a kiss or something?" And McVeigh said, "Go on then." So he did. He kissed him on the cheek. What else can you do?
Yeah, I mean,
you asked for consent, you got it. And then after the game, McVeigh was asked on radio, "What do you make of that?" And he goes, "Oh, I thought it was pretty disrespectful, but whatever." You know, just a pretty flippant line. But not going to crucify him for that, because after the game, you're entitled to be a bit grumpy. But to say it's disrespectful, especially when just after you've grabbed him by the throat and given away a free kick. I mean, it wasn't directly after that. But
I guess his point of view is, you know, he's a lad who... Well, we compare the two achievements of those two blokes, and Langford's getting pantsed. And maybe he thinks he deserves a bit more respect from the lad. I think if you're going to wait for younger lads to respect the older, you're going to be waiting a while.
I mean, he's your opposition. He's not meant to respect you while you're playing. He's meant to try and put you off.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was pretty disrespectful. Probably the point.
Yep, and I mean...
valid, then.
You kiss ladies on the cheek all the time, so, I mean, that's just patriarchy winning again, isn't it?
And Hawthorn went on to win, so I think next week, things could get sponsored by Chapstick.
Give Dusty a little peck. See how that goes for you. All right, on to North Melbourne and Melbourne. Unbelievable that Melbourne found a way to shit the bed on this one.
It's not in the top 10 of all time. Because I think that starts at about 20.
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in the 20s. Yeah.
I think St Kilda and Hawthorn went on 4-year losing streaks and those kind of things.
Mm. Yeah.
But, the thing I saw was Gorn dominated. Like, he was phenomenal.
Although, he shot after the siren, needs a bit of work.
Yeah.
He had a bit of a rough one. I did think that Melbourne maybe coasted into the final quarter, thinking the wind would do it for him.
Which, a little bit, yeah, 100%.
I don't know why they thought that, because they thought that last time they played down there last year, and the same result kind of happened.
I am glad that this puts to rest any of the tanking talk, because the tanking talk was absolute bullshit.
Yeah.
And I think anybody that said that North were tanking clearly wasn't watching North games, because they dropped Goldstein for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was shit.
The most painful thing about that is that if you're... to be accused of tanking and have the only excuse of... No, we're trying.
That's the best we've got.
But the thing is, North haven't been blown out of the water. I've got a bet with a Hawks mate on who finishes with a better percentage.
Yes, we've mentioned that. It's damn close now.
Fucking, I think it's 0.02.
It's something like 0.2, that.
0.2, sorry, not 0.02.
It's less than one. I know that.
And it's a fucking tight run.
And they play each other in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think that'll pretty much decide it. So fuck knows what happened there. But yeah, this season, North's blooded 12 players, which is more than they've blooded in a decade.
Yeah.
So some of them have been mixed results. I thought Jai Simkin was really good in this match. Taylor Garner's taken a step up in this season.
Had that brilliant tackle. Clayton Oliver.
Yeah.
Ran him down from behind. And Oliver, he looked like
that was a goal.
He looked like he was in happy land.
Yep.
He was here we go. I'm going to have a shot from 65.
And with that breeze, fair play.
Yeah.
I would too.
Yeah, sure, it was a bang one from 80.
Yeah. Mm. Was that McMillan or? No, it was
McDonald.
Remember. McDonald. Yeah, what a strike.
Yeah, it was huge. Also, Magic Door bounced back after some criticism with 4 possessions.
He did take a nice mark.
That mark saved the game, really. It's phenomenal that he stuck it.
Yeah.
But, sometimes it's about picking your moments. So maybe he's a backman.
I don't know.
But
you know what I think his best position would be? Power forward.
Yeah, probably right. Skyhooks.
Something else, mate. Something else.
Well, the big win for me was Benny Brown. That one-handed mark he took in the goal square.
Yeah.
That was just sticking the paw out and pulling that down.
It's 2 weeks he's done that too.
I'm really excited for him to have a crack at the Brownlow. Although I think Joey Danaher might have him.
Coleman, he's stuck in the Brownlow.
You know what's funny is Sam McClure, the Channel 7 guy, said Benny Brown was leading the Brownlow that night as well.
Yep.
And I said, no, Coleman, mate. I just made the exact same mistake. So there you go.
Well, you never know. Unless everyone gets suspended this weekend.
Hey, there's a chance they're falling like flies.
Fixes in.
But, he was equal lead with Buddy. And then Danaher managed to get a couple ahead. But it's going to be a pretty tight finish.
It's an exciting race, yeah.
Look, if I'm a betting man, Buddy's still the favourite. But, you know, anything could happen.
He's been poor a couple of weeks. But the thing is, you could see Buddy going out there and kicking 12.
Yeah.
I can't see Benny Brown doing that.
I can if we're sitting at 16th in the last round and they're just handballing him to it.
Danaher, I can't see him hitting 12. I can see him having 12 shots.
Yeah.
He was dangerous too in their game.
Actually, talking me into it, Brown for sure, favourite. other than that, pretty much the usual sort of things. Jesse Hogan,
the collarbone break.
Nothing in the bump.
Nah.
No medical expert, but I do wonder if he's had some sort of chemo. I know that can affect the bone density and whatnot. Maybe that's a result. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking shit. No idea.
I know, but it sounded like it was a bad break too. It wasn't a clean one. It was a couple of places.
But Luke McDonald, not the biggest lad. And
no.
When they came together, I thought McDonald came off second best, to be honest. Hogan out for the season, you'd think. I think they said they could get him back in 5-6, but I don't know about that. If you're playing finals and you're coming back from a broken collarbone, the first thing, you're going to test that out. If you're playing with him.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to.
It's going
to
be tough. But, I mean, obviously, you're not going to play if you're 50% or 70%.
People have been playing finals at 50% for decades.
And
it's dumb.
And regretting it.
Yeah. But, look, any backman is going to test that out, even next season. You just do. Not nice, but nice doesn't win flags.
All right, on to the Giants and the Dockers. And to be honest, the Dockers had no right to get this close. But the Giants won by 12 points. And I mean literally 12 points.
13-20.
Yeah. And they kicked, was it, 3-5?
Fuck, do you want to try again?
They kicked 5 goals, 9 in the last quarter, which is just ridiculous. Is that what it's like, all right?
Yeah.
3-5.
Fucking math.
5-9.
Yeah, in the last quarter, which is crazy.
Just having pot shots, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought, really, it's a good game from Freo. They've done well. And Fife was just about best on ground, despite them not winning.
Yeah, I mean, Freo shouldn't have been in this game full stop, but you got to take some positives out of it for those guys. You know, they did play well with some parts of it, but giving up in the last quarter was really just what let them down.
Mm. Boomer Kelly was pretty handy too. Like 27 possessions, goal.
Nice goal too.
Yeah, it was a nice one.
Was it the last one or the sealer?
I think it was a sealer. Yeah. I think it was one after it. But, you know, pretty much even kicks and handballs and a couple of sweet marks. He's not a big tackling machine. But when you're an outside run. Not really expected. He'll slot in nice at North next year.
Jezza Cameron, he's set out a couple of weeks, comes back, done his hammy, he's going to be out for another couple.
Yep. See, that to me makes a real struggle to watch GWS, because he is the superstar, and he's going to get even better if he can stay on the damn park.
He's had a rough month, really.
Yeah.
Previous to that, he's been pretty good, obviously. And, you know, still in the race for the Brownlow, but obviously not now. Coleman, twice in the fucking one. Anyway, but obviously he's not going to win it now.
Yeah. Was this the first time Cam McCarthy's played against his old team?
It would be, I believe.
Yeah.
Unless, I can't remember, though, if he was in the side earlier this year.
I wonder if he regrets it.
I don't think he does, seeing as he sat out a whole year of football just so he didn't have to play in Western Sydney.
That's crazy.
It's dedication to getting home,
I reckon. It's dedication that you're gonna, after a year, you're still going to have that gig. Like, we're just trying to sit out like a year now and then try and come back to another team.
Yeah, well, it's a big call. So Pav's retiring, is he? I'm alright, I've got a space. On to one of the most interesting games of the round, Port Adelaide getting up with the last kick of the day against the St Kilda. An absolute pissing down in there, so wet weather footy all round, which I think obviously helped St Kilda, brought them back to the pack a little bit.
Yep.
But geez, they played it well, they just couldn't convert.
Yeah, I mean, but that was almost like a training drill, that Paddy Ryder tapped down to Gray and stopped the goal.
Yeah. Paddy Ryder, it was all Australian ruckman.
I saw somebody say it today. You know, it's a close for the ruckman. You know, is it Cruiser? I mean, McAvoy's got claims. This is the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Like, because when the All Australian Committee sits down, they go, yeah, but remember that tap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that's one thing that the stats don't tell us. That's one tap. You know, one among, what do you got, 50 odd for the match, probably. Mm. But winning the tap isn't as good as winning the tap and putting it right on the chest of your running ruckman.
Hit out to advantage.
You get
running rover, yeah.
Yeah, you get those. Rover, yeah, fuck that up. You get five of those a match, get five goals, you've done your job.
Absolutely. I mean, you get one of those a match, you go, oh, geez, wasn't that great?
That's when you look forward to Monday morning replay. Yeah. And you're just like, mate, I gave you silver fucking service, mate. Right on the tip. Yeah, look at you go. Dinner.
Chad Wingard was out with, I think he's got a hammy as well, which meant they were forced to play Robbie Gray more in the middle.
Yeah.
I think that's a much better move for him.
Yeah, I completely agree.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, they had Dixon up there who was actually taking some good marks, and it makes it heaps easier to be able to put, what's his name, in the middle when they've got actually Great. Confidence in there in the forward line. It's not always there, though, because they are pretty shit-ass shots at goal sometimes. Yeah. But in this situation, especially with wet weather, you need to really shut down that young St. Kilda outside players.
Yeah.
And I think they did that pretty well for most of the game. It was just the St Kilda just obviously couldn't kick straight, and that makes it very hard to beat a team like Port Adelaide.
Josh Bruce was 0-3,
yep,
and all of them were gettable.
Yep, and I mean, they got lots of contenders for their forward line positions, so, you know, they've really got to do something about it and figure out where they slot those people in who aren't really, you know, pulling their weight.
I think, though, the conditions did suit Port, because in a lot of the wet weather games, it's the mongrel teams who are just angry ball.
That's why I went the other way. I think Port liked their run and carry. Mm. Not to say that the Saints don't as well, but I think it brought the skill level down, and that suited the Saints.
Yeah.
But, you know, had a one and probably should have won it.
Yeah.
But it's different, though, when you look back at teams that have given away, you know, two goals in a minute to lose the game, like Essendon against Sydney, where there's no way that Essendon should have let that happen.
Yep.
In this one, you can say that last ruck, you know, maybe you should have had somebody looking after a little bit, but really, Port Adelaide were just unbelievably good in that last 1 minute.
Yeah, yeah.
It almost feels like there's been a lot of movement in AFL House in senior positions and whatnot, but do you know if they've hired Vince Russo?
Yeah.
Because it seems almost like it's being scripted like WWE style.
Listen, bro, what's going to happen, right? This is what's going to happen, bro. That's a very poor Vince Russo. Speaking of which, though, this was a multicultural round. Didn't hear much about it.
No.
Really, AFL's dropped the ball there. I think they should have had somebody, you know, looking after that kind of position, trying to promote the multicultural round.
Yeah,
I don't know why they haven't.
Could have been quite a hit.
I think they'd be blindsided by that one. Yeah.
Your turn, Josh. Yes, they also, Nick Riewoldt calls it quits.
Called it quits today.
Yep. Right, cool.
I've got to say, I loved how he did it too, which was press conference coming up. But before he did that, did it through the Saints YouTube to the fans first.
Yeah.
And he looked happy about it.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you can't really just keep on going on with your body just thrashing it like that, because he's had a good career.
Like I said before, I thought he was done 3 seasons back, and then 2 seasons back, and then one. Like, and he just kept going, and look, he's certainly best 22 still.
What I like about it, and it's just about being confirmed, is that he went to the club and went, I'm done.
Yeah,
like because the club, if he came to the club and goes, I got one more, you know, they would have gone, okay.
Yeah, you have to.
Superstar.
He'll do the media rounds for the next couple of days, and it'll be a big crowd for their game next week.
Yeah,
but
they're away next week, aren't they?
Part of his pre-game routine is he has when they go away, he has a sleep at the hotel for an hour, you know, a couple of hours before the game.
Yeah.
And he said, last week when they played in Sydney, he went and he could not get to sleep. And he said, all I was thinking about was, what am I going to say in my retirement speech? Oh, shit, I guess I'm retired. It came to him like that, you know.
Yep.
Which, you know, not many people can call it on their terms and still be wanted by the club. So that's massive.
Yeah. 400 games wasn't good enough for Boomer, though.
423. Well, yeah, 90 games more than Roo at 333. He'll probably finish on 3-3-5, I dare say.
Or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Although, I don't think they'll play finals now.
So, called the number one draft pick back in 2000. So, 17-year career. Not a bad run.
It's got to be all right. And also, when you talk about the best Saints player of all time, he's in the conversation. Him and Robert Harvey for mine.
Yeah.
It's hard to go past.
Nah, Tony Lockett's got it.
Yeah, he's half the time in Sydney, isn't he?
True. You claim him, though, if you're Saints. You take your victories where you can get them.
Of course you would. On to the Suns and the Tigers. This is the kind of game that they drop normally.
Yeah, yep. And
I tipped against them. I got everything else but this one.
I was not confident at any point of the match. I knew that we could screw it up from...
you tipped Hawthorn? I'm surprised. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, sorry, Brent.
The draw counts as a win to me.
As soon as we start kicking more points than goals, I always get a little bit edgy. I'm a little bit worried about that. But a team like Gold Coast just couldn't really make us pay for our mistakes. So, gave it to us really on a platter. And we get four mistakes and still get on top.
And Georgie Costanza gets a Rising Star nod as well.
Yeah.
He's had a good year.
I think he's had a few games where he's earned the Rising Star rod. But I feel...
Rising Star Rod.
Yep.
I really want to make a Rising Star Rod.
But I feel like he's got more confidence now, especially in front of goal. Like, he's kicking straight up a lot.
Three goals, three.
Yep. It's
better.
That's 50%. It's better. Any other fools?
Probably.
So I feel like he's got a bit more confidence and like he's not afraid to demand the ball now and a bit of confidence from his team around him as well. But I mean, he wasn't the best in the field, but he just did a good job.
Big knack, too. Didn't really... do much in the ruck, but 3-1, good return for him.
Yeah, right. Kicked some nice goals last week too against GWS.
Yeah, look, ruckmen have to be able to go forward these days, and now that his cousin, Marich's cousin's passable in the ruck, I think they've got a brilliant setup.
Look like a better team with Basher back too, you got to say.
Yep.
How far away is he?
He played this game.
Played good too.
Yeah, but he still does the, when somebody takes a mark on the half back, he'll run and receive the handball while running towards the Richmond goals.
Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I hate that because it doesn't give you any advantage.
Yeah.
Running towards the Richmond goals.
Yeah. So a Richmond player's taken a mark. Basher will go to get the hands off him. You see it all the time. People run around the back.
Oh, yeah.
But he'll get the handball before he gets around the back.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, dude, that's just dumb. Because you haven't got your eyes. You can't see what's going on.
Yep.
But anyway, he still does it. And he seems to be getting away with it.
Yeah. But I think the real key this one was just not having enough people to man up on Dusty.
Yeah.
He ran a mark all day.
Did he?
And
he didn't get a tackle all game. Like, and that's no slight on Dusty. It's just the fact that he had so much space.
Yeah, and the ball.
Yeah. So
you had the ball. Yeah. When everyone's chasing you, it's very hard to tackle.
Yep.
I've seen it done.
I
watch Waterboy.
Aaron Hall's come back and he's had 40 touches. Remember, was it last year, I think, he was leading the Brownlow after three rounds and then got dropped later on in the year. So inconsistencies in his games, but he put a good one in.
Yeah, and I mean, especially when 40 possessions in a team that, you know, should have been dominated, especially for ball winners, that's a very good effort.
And even Tom Lynch, you've got to say, kicking 3 goals on Rance is not a bad effort.
Yeah, you take that.
And Rance had a good game too, so it goes both ways, that one.
Mm, yep.
I think the Tigers are just about locked in for finals now and pushing for top four.
Yeah, I think we're looking at top four. We just need Port to have a bit of a misstep as well because their percentage is better now, so we've still got a game in our back pocket. Yeah. Would have been any Saints beat them, but anyway.
Would have helped you out.
Yeah.
On to the next game, which was the Cats and Carlton. Score lines, what I expected, maybe a bit smaller. Is there much more to say about this one?
Big impact game.
Yeah.
With danger. What do you think about that tackle?
My immediate reaction was, when I saw it, you're gone.
If I saw that tackle and had not seen the previous ones, like Jared Waite's, et cetera, I would honestly think it's just a tackle, let it go. But when you've already penalised several players for exactly that sort of thing, two down to one has to be.
Pin the arms and the head hit the turf first.
Yeah. Look, it's a littler lad on a ruckman. Littler to a ruckman, yeah. I mean. Not a little lad. And that they would take that into account. But any time a player is rubbed out for the game with a concussion, no matter how it happens, it's going to get looked at.
I'm surprised he got a game. Not because I thought he didn't deserve it, but I thought the MRP's going to find a way out of this.
Yeah. I think they tried.
They must have deliberated for ages.
If they did, though, if they did give him a fine, do you reckon the AFL would be courageous enough to challenge it the same way they did Marsha?
Nope. No way. No way.
I think they would have just...
They would have gone, oh,
whistled
past
the graveyard.
They would have given them all bonuses. I mean, but we're independent. You're like, yeah, we don't care.
I did see sports bets paying out on danger.
Did they?
Refund.
Refund. Oh, fucking a horrible marketing thing.
Yeah.
I saw a graphic of Dusty's price. It was $2.20 on Friday, $1.80 on Saturday, and now $1.25 on Sunday. He's firming in. But he's got two strikes, so it's going to make it interesting.
He does, but he's always managed to find his way out of trouble. Yeah, not sure how that works, but he's done.
Look, the only other thing about this game was Tommy Hawkins was dominant. He's had 27 touches and he's kicked six.
Yeah.
But, you know...
He's hitting some form.
He was always going to against Carlton. Carlton have... they put the Q in the rack. They're done for the year.
Yep, and it's good for some drafties and...
And rebuild again.
Pre-season. Yep.
Geelong have got a reasonably hard run home, but if they can get it happening, it'll look good.
Very interesting Friday night game this week. On to the Sunday games, and the Bulldogs got up by 5 goals over Essendon. It's amazing. It's a 5-goal win. The game was still in the balance with 90 seconds to go. And it got bang, 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 bang. That is by far the most impressive game of the Bulldogs this year.
Yeah, especially Essendon up and running. So you can't write them off at any point in the game. They're always going to come back.
Like we said, Danaher looked dangerous.
6-4.
He could have taken that game apart at any stage.
Yep.
If imagine he kicked 10, and it's not impossible.
No. Well, it's how many shots does he need to kick 10?
20.
Thereabouts. Yeah. he nearly got them.
And little JJ didn't do too bad either. 4 goals. Not as many disposals as you expect from him, but
when you kick 4 goals, you don't care.
Yep.
Like, get back in the back line, shithead.
What about Hooker for goal miss of the year? Playing on the goal line and getting smothered.
Oh, that's always unforgivable, isn't it?
It's one that somebody's going to tap you on the shoulder and go, hey, remember that one? That was fucking dumb, wasn't it?
It's like, tap you like, I know I'm a dickhead.
Well, imagine, I'm sure the Western Bulldogs wouldn't have reminded him of that.
Oh, no. God, no. Why would you? Tony Liberatore, wouldn't have said a word.
Shrinking violets.
Travis Cloke, it was good to see him back out there. I thought, even though he didn't have a massive impact on the scoreboard or on the game, I just feel like the Bulldogs look better structured with him.
They just need big bodies in their squad. They've already got pretty much every other position down pat. It's just big bodies that they don't really have. So
and a focus.
Yeah.
A spearhead.
Like I said, he's only had 10 kicks.
Yep.
And what's he had? Oh, is that 5 marks? See, it's not bad. Yeah. And the goal he kicked was a nice one. So.
Yep. I still like to see him go back.
Still like to see it happen,
Before you, shook him off, retire him, put him on back, see how it goes.
Yeah, we've said it many, many times. If it hasn't happened by now, I don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately. No. Bulldogs coming good at the right end of the year, too, with Jordan Ruffhead back as well, rucking well. Even though Danaher kicked 6, I thought Cordy, he did some real strong defensive work when it mattered.
To
stop him taking marks.
Well, it's always tough because he's so gangly that, you've got to try and reach the ball first, and it's really hard to do that chopping his arms. So, it's always going to be tough to find someone to match up on Danaher. Especially
he's a bit
of
a freak. Yeah. Like, he's not your classic full forward. He's just a bag full of sticks, and he just throws himself at the ball, and sometimes it sticks.
Yeah.
It'd be dangerous if he had any aggression
to him,
wouldn't he? But at the moment, he's too tall for most, and he's pretty nimble on the ground. So to keep him to 6, you got to say, he's won the day, but at least when it counted, you did your job.
Did something, you got something to hang your hat on in that game.
Yeah,
I've seen better moustaches in AFLW.
So was it put Essendon on the ladder now? It's there.
They're in the 8.
They're in 8th, I believe.
It's going to be interesting if they can sneak into the finals.
Odds on 2, I'd reckon.
Sorry, they're 10th.
10th.
My bad.
So one game out.
Of course, they were above
them. Yeah, the Bulldogs above them. So,
They were eighth on the live ladder, I think it was.
Right, right.
But, yeah, they can still sneak in. And yeah. Not just they I mean, St. Kilda, Essendon, and Bulldogs are the ones that are looking like sneaking in, but Essendon and Bulldogs and West Coast feeling the heat.
Well, you pretty much need 13 wins, I think, this year to get in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they've got four games to go, so.
Or 12 with percentage. But who's got the best percentage there? Out of those guys, it'd be Essendon with 107.
There you go.
So the Bulldogs and West Coast are both at 100 and 105 respectively.
It's an interesting little race for the end of the season. So you get ahead of that.
It's always nice. It's always nice.
Melbourne, certainly a chance to drop out with if the injuries keep racking up.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Key injuries.
Yeah, just losing games like they did on the weekend.
A fascinating game on Sunday as well was Collingwood drawing with Adelaide. Amazing because in no world did I think that Collingwood would be able to draw.
Yeah.
And then in no way should they have drawn.
Yep.
But, I mean, if you focus on the last 20 seconds, that mark from McGovern was unbelievable. Yeah.
Oh,
especially when you consider...
Spectacular.
He got a nice shield from Jacobs, not intentional. And Jeremy Howe was there.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get a run and leap at it.
Yep.
Because if you'd back anybody to get up high enough to spoil it...
Yep.
But one grab from McGovern, that's... It won't be, but it's almost mark of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's one of the most influential... It's up there for mark of the week. I know this one, Benny Brown's, and another one are up. But this, in context of the game, this one, sure.
I've got a feeling it was a Port Adelaide.
No.
It was Fremantle. Crozier took a nice grab.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway.
Thing is, even though he's kicked four goals, McGovern, Wells had the best game I've seen for the last 2 years, 3 years.
Easily his best game for Collingwood.
Oh, yeah. Far and away.
Yeah.
And they've got to make the most of it. This is... what he can do and what he was brought on board to do. Whether he can do it for 2 years, I don't know. But.
He's come good just as Pendlebury's hit the surgeon's table.
Yeah.
Not a bad replacement, you have to say, on evidence.
Yeah, this is one of the most watchable games I've watched of Collingwood. Pretty much because I can still give a shit because he's in the VFL.
I don't know why you've got it against him. But,
I'm not even sure myself. He's just got that punchable face.
speaking of then why you're watching it, Levi Greenwood, I thought, had a great game.
Yeah,
he did, actually.
Fantastic.
He's a quality player, and he can do a brilliant run-with job with anyone.
Yeah. He's turning into it, and when the time comes, he can hurt you the other way.
Well, yeah. That's just like... You don't have any classic taggers these days because everyone's got to be accountable.
It's coming back.
But if you can tag someone and then hurt them when the turnover comes, it's three times as handy.
Yeah, I reckon this year it's bringing the taggers back, especially because of guys like Sloan.
Yeah,
because they've seen, God, it's effective.
Yep.
You know, and he's only had 16 touches, and the lowly Collingwood against top of the ladder Adelaide have... taking them all the way and should have won.
They shouldn't have been back in the game. No,
50 yeah. points up they were.
Yeah, and kicking, how many points behind that kick again?
13,
yeah, to the Crows, 16-7. That's enough scoring opportunities to give them a hiding.
But if you're the Crows, this is a loss.
Well, yes and no.
You save the game from being a complete loss. But
What it does, though, is it puts them even on points with Geelong. Because they're... percentage is far superior.
Yeah.
So it evens that race out for them, whereas a loss would have meant that, you know, they're below and their percentage doesn't count.
Yeah.
So for them, a draw is as good as a win.
Kind of.
But what I mean with the loss is that Sloan was still had little impact with when given a tag.
Yeah.
So they've got to do something about this.
Well, they've had enough time to think about it because...
Tap started in, what, round seven when North did it?
Yep.
Yeah,
and
seven, you know, or
other teams have done it successfully since.
Well, the thing is, both the Crouchers have been picking up the slack on that end, but it still hasn't been enough. So I think there's one person short on being able to sort of find a solution to that.
I don't know. Shove him in the forward pocket, let Betts run in the middle. I don't know. Give that a crack.
Well, I think Betts may be back this week or next week, but I don't think Betts is strong enough to play in the middle.
Yeah, yep.
He can do whatever he fucking wants.
Yeah, and I think cutting your nose to spite your face there.
Yeah, pretty right.
But I mean, they've got other options.
Jeremy Howe with another couple of speckies.
He's done all right. He's an underrated player in a way because he is so damaging off the halfback.
Yep.
I think he makes, he's a real leader down there for Collingwood now. It's been a great move for him.
So, I don't know how you can underrate a bloke who 31 touches, 8 marks, throw a couple of tackles in there, but his marks are just ridiculous.
Yeah, of course they are.
They're effortless the way he gets up there.
Yeah, but marking over ruckman.
Didn't do it in the last 20 seconds, though.
No, should have punched.
I don't think he had much of a choice. And the final game, I mean, let's not pretend we saw any of it. Eagles thumped the Lions. This is the way it's going to be for the rest of the year for the Lions, unfortunately.
Well, I think it's on the score box in the bottom right-hand corner when I was watching something else entirely. I was watching Killjoys.
I saw the score and went there.
Yeah, it really didn't have much for the casual or even professional fan.
All I did was see how many Kennedy kicked six. Yeah. And
surprisingly, same as Danaher.
I was drinking whiskey.
Yeah. All right, so let's have a look then at round 20. God, four games to go in the season.
Yeah, crazy, yeah? But it's still so close. It's going to be awesome, like, last into it.
And when we get to the final eight, I think this will be the first time we've had a final eight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, any team could win it. Last year was a final seven.
Yep.
but this year it could be an actual final eight.
I was thinking the other day, the funny thing is, though, when this season finishes up, just about every team will be able to say they had some success.
Had something. Something from it.
Collingwood even would say, oh, you know, we had some good wins there. They're probably the ones who are feeling the pinch the most. North blooded some youngsters. Brisbane are building up towards something nice. Carlton as well. Every team is going to be able to come out positive from this season, I'd say, except perhaps GWS if they don't win the flag.
There's probably a few teams that would be very disappointed not winning a flag. But like I said, the Suns might be in a little bit of trouble. They're probably, I think everyone's accepted that they're going to be looking for a new coach.
Yep.
Depending on what happens with Ablett, if they get some nice picks for Ablett, then you'd probably say they're still ahead on the season.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to save a coach.
Yeah, no. Coach is fucked.
He hasn't been super impressive.
No, he's half-assing it. And there was an article, like I said, at the top of the show, that on AFL about the coaching situation at Gold Coast, because it's sort of an agreement that assistant coaches coming out of contract get told on August the 1st what their contract state is, if they're going to get recontracted for next year, so that they can
pursue other options.
Yep.
And they've got four of their assistant coaches out of contract,
right?
And obviously Rocket, well what's going on there? But they were extremely positive for Solly. Dean Solomon, highly regarded. Who knows if he'll put his hand up for the big chair next year at any club.
Yep.
But the rumours that he's had offers from other clubs for, you know, senior assistant roles. And that's what the article said. And, you know, I can kind of confirm, there has been offers. I know for a fact.
I'd love to see that meeting where they sit down all the assistant coaches like, all right, who wants to be in the big chair next year? And everyone's like, at Gold Coast.
I guarantee Primus is another one. I guarantee he'll take another shot because it's the only way he'll get another shot.
Well, also, Solly likes living in the Gold Coast, so he's got a couple of kids now. He's pretty happy there, so if he's going to take a job, it's probably going to be in Queensland.
He might like winning more.
I think I'd go Gold Coast before I go Brisbane, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, but Brisbane, you know, they got Fagan for his first year this year.
Yeah.
Do you go Gold Coast or Pies?
No, without a doubt, you go Pies.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, because you know how well-resourced you're going to be.
Yep.
The article made mention that he's been there since the beginning. He was there for season one of the Suns as a coach, and he's popular with the players. And I thought that age, the age he's at, you know, young, hungry coach, and popular with the players, that's exactly what Gold Coast need.
Yeah, that's true.
It'd be nice, but anyway.
I think like Emilio Estevez and the Mighty
Ducks. If it's what he wants, then he could probably have it. That'd be crazy. But maybe he wants to go somewhere else.
They're going to go to market and, you know, see who's the best out there. Because
there's always going to be openings. Every season there's openings.
Yep. Just about. All right, on to round 20. Friday night, Cats and the Swans. Again, this one's going to come down to the selection table because the Swans got a ton of injuries and Dangerfield's out. I don't see the Cats challenging it. They've set a precedent that they're not going to challenge previously, so there's no reason to challenge this one.
Yep.
Down at Skilled Stadium, though, I'm still thinking the Cats.
Well, the Swans beat them there, was it last year in McVay's 200th or the year before? So they've got form there. And Geelong haven't, you know...
They haven't turned it into a fortress.
Yeah, not convincing so far. I mean, and they don't play that as often themselves anymore. So, I mean...
Well, they will going forward now that it's rebuilt and whatnot. But...
Tippett could be back, and on that...
That means go Cats.
Go Cats, yeah. That's why I'm going Geelong.
I think Geelong will still have enough to get over the line. Yeah. Sydney, you're still not sure about them. Like, every time you Sydney get some confidence in them, then they'll just go and do what they did the weekend.
Well, they won 9 in a row.
Yeah,
But not all convincing, but you still won 9 in a row.
Yeah,
not a bad effort.
City's famous for timing their run. They don't realistically think a top two chance is on the cards. So they're just going to try and get in as smoothly as they can into September.
Sneak into the eight,
Get in the eight and try and reduce the injury list.
Yeah, injury list is their issue, especially Joey Kennedy. Giants and Melbourne.
At Union New South Wales.
Yeah, yes. Down at Manuka. Yeah.
Everyone loves playing there.
Is that what they call Manuka Oval now? University of New South Wales in the ACT.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm not saying it makes sense.
No, whatever. Go with it.
It's going to be an interesting match to see because Mumford's been a bit ordinary for a while.
Yeah, like I said last week when they played against the Tigers, I actually thought, okay, no, he's moving well.
Yeah.
And I thought he led Nankervis around the ground for a lot of it. But look, he's still got... I think he'll rise to the opposition.
Yeah.
So he'll be playing on Maxi Gorn. It'll be a big day for them both.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have to be on his game.
Yeah, he's going to try and bully him around.
Gorn put on a clinic last week against North. Wasn't able to get his team over the line, but he definitely showed up, Bruce, and Mad Jacky showed up as well. But we can accept that. It's I really like the way they match up, but it's just unfortunate Hogan's not going to be there. Cameron's not going to be there.
Yeah, you're going to miss out on a good hard contest out of that.
But I just can't see Melbourne getting the Giants.
There is a small chance that Lids plays as well.
Yeah.
Why not? As well. If your injury list is starting to get the way the Giants are, and you've got a player like Delidio,
and you've got to run into finals, I mean, it's one thing. You can't go, okay, we want you 3 more weeks in the twos.
Yeah.
One, the knee feels shit, so you're not learning anything.
Yeah.
But two, then you've got to come back and say, all right, well, let's see. Do we try you the week before finals starts?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like...
do it before then.
Well, they're playing finals. Like, guaranteed. That's happening, so get some games in the bloke.
Yeah. I think the lucky charm has lived on because they haven't lost a game with Delidio yet.
That's right. They haven't won one either, though.
Nope.
Yeah, think about that.
Actually, imagine this is the season that Richmond managed to get the flag.
Yep.
How long do you think it'll be before Delidio can walk down Punt Road without someone mooning him and going, fuck you?
Life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's provided Punt Road survives a celebration, of course.
Dimmer will give him his medal.
Oh my god, imagine that, doing the bevo but giving it to an opposition player.
Oh. Cover your lids and he just walks out.
That's worse than Dangerfield hanging the Brownlow medal over somebody else when he's got the most votes in an ineligible year, which could happen this year.
Yep.
Wow. Alright. GWS.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. The Dons and Carlton at the MCG. There is no reason that Carlton should be even close in this one.
Which is why they'll win.
However, they do this to Essendon.
Yep. Well,
if Cruiser plays, they're a chance. If he's on concussion watch, because it's a shorter turnaround. I don't know. They need Cruiser in the match.
Yeah, yeah. He'll be the most dominant ruckman on the ground if he plays. Yep.
If he's not in there, they'll get down by 10 goals.
I really want him to play for two reasons. One, I think it makes this a game worth watching.
Yeah, yeah.
And two, I'd love to see the Geelong fans like, oh, he's fucking playing this week. He wasn't even concussed.
I'll give you a 3. It might stop Danaher kicking another 5.
And I think if there's a concussion, it should be automatic, like 2 weeks off.
Something like that, yeah.
Unless it's finals, then yeah.
The Lions are hosting the Bulldogs, and the Bulldogs just come off their best week on field. I think they're going to look for percentage in this one.
It is too, yeah.
I think the Lions are, well, they're happy.
Cue in the rack, they're done.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't worry about
They're already looking at the draft. Well, as they have been for the last three or four rounds, really.
North Collingwood, Etihad Stadium. North have a tendency to rise up against Collingwood.
The thing is, it hurts you if you win this for North.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it will let them stick it to Buckley again. So,
always up for that.
Yeah. I can't see Wells dropping form. So he's going to hurt North.
Yeah. Is this his first game against North? He didn't play.
Yeah, he didn't play in the last one. He's going to be a hurtful player for North. It's just watching him in the black and white's troublesome.
Will North have enough fans there to boo him?
Oh, they're up and about, mate. They're on board.
Look at the pitchforks out for Lindsay Thomas. <That'd be right.
laughs> Lindsay might actually play, which could be fucking weird. If those two run into each other in opposite matches, what fucking happens?
Everyone's going, what? It's like a crappy 80s comedy movie or something.
I still think North can do it, especially if Goldstein had a decent day in the resi, so if he recovers his ego and comes back in and kicks ass, they'll do very, very well. But
I can't see it.
Happening. I know. I don't fucking know. Zerha comes back, I hope. He had an omission game, just, you know, managing players.
Yeah, he got dropped. Yeah.
He played good, but there's some dropping back in the VFL.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Sort that out, son. 14th versus 15th, Dockers versus the Suns. I'll take somebody else's word on the result of that game.
Yeah, I'm just go, yeah, Suns.
It's great when you watch good free-flowing football. Not going to be this one.
No. Actually, what I meant to mention is, obviously, your other bet has fallen through with Bucks getting sacked by
Mount Severn.
Yep.
I am 100% convinced he's going to resign at the end of the year now.
Yeah.
He won't get sacked, and that way everybody can save face and they can move on.
Yeah.
But also, I think that he'd be genuine in his resignation because he's such a proud person. And he said, we have to play finals. We're now not playing finals. Anyways, yeah, who gives a shit about Docker's Sons? Sorry for Lance Boy.
Do you reckon he get picked up elsewhere?
No. Nah.
But as a midfield coach, not as a head. Because as a midfielder, he's in your best of all time conversation.
No, he's not.
Not mine.
I don't think he makes my top 10, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough. Not mine either.
Maybe
top
10.
I was being charitable.
Well, don't do it. It doesn't suit you. Saints are hosting West Coast at Etihad Stadium. Okay.
I like this game.
West Coast have got to prove themselves.
Yep, they have
to. Win
to.
Another big one at Etihad.
Saints need to win if they want to play finals.
Yeah, great game.
And with Rue announcing retirement, they'll be fired up. I'm on Saints.
I tell you what, you've got to get a crowd there for that.
You'd think so, if there is a St Kilda crowd.
Tell you what, I might even go watch. This could be a great way to see off the final few games of a club legend.
Well, you'll be going by yourself because I'll be going to Richmond and Hawthorn at the MCG.
Can do both.
I tell you what, 4th versus 12th, it's a good game.
It's a very good game, yeah. Especially the Hawks putting away Sydney, who, I mean, not too dissimilar to Richmond in regards to having lots of sort of strong-bodied midfielders, and Hawks need to shut them down and punish them. So it's going to be a close game.
I think the key to Richmond winning is their all-over-the-ground pressure. That's what they did against GWS.
Yeah.
And I think that is the Achilles heel of Hawthorn.
Yeah, we just got to do it for a whole game. Usually we can do it for the first quarter, first half, and then we're fucked.
Well, you haven't seen second half Hawthorn.
Yeah, true.
Second half Hawthorns are different than first half Hawthorn.
This could be a battle to whoever loses this one.
Howe will most likely go to Dusty,
and
I don't think that suits Howe at all.
I want to see Burgoyne tackle Dusty, just to see what the fuck happens. It could be anything.
Hodge out for this game too. And I think that really does hurt Hawthorn.
Yeah, for sure. I think Tigers go the line.
I think Tigers.
Yeah, I think Hawthorn's back line a little bit too immature for this one. For this season. They're getting great very quickly, but not quite there yet.
And the Crows and Port in showdown, who gives a fuck number?
Stop caring about numbers.
I'm hoping for a bloodbath.
And look, it'll more than likely happen.
There's a lot on the line for both teams.
Some other teams got a little bit of interest in this game too.
Absolutely.
I'm on Port solely for the fact that they've got the better injury list.
I see, I'm in Adelaide solely for the fact that Richmond need Port to lose.
Fuck it. Another draw. just to make this season more interesting. Look, Port can lose and keep their spot at fifth.
Yep.
But it's going to make it very hard from there to make a top four if they lose.
Well, neither team's going to go in with the "if we lose, it's okay" mentality. Because
of course not.
You know, you never want to lose across to your cross-town rivals, especially in SA when there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
With so much on the line this late in the season, it's got to be a barnstormer.
The cross-town's really a short trip there, so you've got to run these people all the time.
Well, east-west is 10 minutes, yeah.
I'm thinking the Crows. I think they'll bounce back at home.
Yeah, I'm hoping the Crows. I think it should be a close game with momentum for Port Adelaide. Should be closer than what it really should be, but I think Adelaide will get across the line.
Jacobs needs to dominate Ryder if he gets all Australian.
Yep.
If not, I think Ryder's got it in the bag.
Mm.
All right, that'll do us for this round.
Yeah, that's it.
Bye-bye.
All right,
good luck.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.